more about Jesus. And we're going to talk about Jesus tonight. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer together, okay? Dear loving Father, Father, we're so thankful that You want the kind of relationship with us that's so intimate and so personal that You want us to call You Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much, for caring so much about us. Lord, tonight, it wouldn't be fair for all my brothers and sisters to see or hear me. Lord, they come here to hear You, to hear Almighty God speak to their heart, to speak words of hope and comfort and encouragement, Lord. So would You please hide me behind the cross, that all Your children would see would be You, that all they hear would be You, Lord. May You be glorified tonight. I pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord. Rain down Your Spirit upon us, Lord. We're thirsty. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to invite everyone to join in on a prayer line. That's I believe in prayer. My wife and I are very passionate about prayer. I'm a product of prayer. I'm here because of prayer. And, you know, I don't know. I wish I could work even in a time where Cindy could share a little bit of the testimony sometime. But she's a prayer warrior and always has been a prayer warrior. And there was a time in my life that I shared a little bit about last night when I was way on the wrong side of the fence. Out there in the world is about as far as you could be. And my wife made a decision, rather than leaving me, she made a decision to start praying for me. And she dug in and she started praying. And she was like that persistent widow in Luke chapter 18 that just would not give up. She just kept praying because she knew the God she was praying to. She knew that Jesus could save to the uttermost. And so she prayed and she prayed and she fasted and she prayed and she dug in. And she didn't give up. And God was able to start working in my life. Because when we pray to God, it gives Him permission to work in somebody's life. He wouldn't push Himself on me. He would not do that because He's a God of love. I've got to come to Him because I realize how much God loves me. But as Cindy was praying in faith to God, what it did is it gave God an opportunity to work in my life. Now, you know, the Bible paints a picture that in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was in jail. Remember Peter was in jail? And in the next day that he's probably going to be beheaded. And we know what the church did. What did the church do? They started praying, didn't they? They started praying. And it was looking bad for Peter, but it was also looking pretty bad for the church too. It was looking really bad for the church because, see, you know, Peter was one of the leaders in the church at that time, and you know, and James had already been killed, and you know, they weren't a big crowd to begin with. And I want you to know, it was looking real bad for the church. But when they prayed for Peter, we see the picture of the prayers going up, reaching the throne room of heaven, where Jesus Christ is at. Amen. Interceding on our behalf right now. The Bible says that He can save to the uttermost, Hebrews 7:25, and that for those that come to Him in prayer, and He forever lives to intercede for us. The prayers went up, and we know that God says, okay, now I got permission. He sent an angel down to work in Peter's behalf. The Bible paints a beautiful picture of that. And so our prayers do make a difference. Church, you can make a difference in this community. I want you to know that you can make a difference in the community. Look what those small handful of disciples and fishermen and every common ordinary people did. They turned the world upside down. You can do that here in Aiken. You can make a huge difference by coming together and praying together for this community. Praying for your family members. Praying for church members that used to come to church that don't come to church anymore. You can make a huge difference. Tonight, there's a prayer line. Once a month, we have a North American Division prayer line that we have. It's the first Thursday. Usually, it's the first Thursday of each new month. And it starts at 10 o'clock this time, right? 10 o'clock Eastern time. And it will go all the way to 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. So that doesn't mean that you have to get on and pray the whole time, but you can get on and listen. You're talking about a mountaintop experience. Get on that prayer line. And these are prayer warriors. These are people that believe that there's a God in heaven. I mean, they're praying. They're praying. Some of these people do stay on there all night. I usually just stay a certain period. Cindy and I are going to be helping lead out with this from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock tonight. And Cindy will be glad to give you the telephone number here after this is over. But I want to put a punch in for that right there and give you an opportunity to be a part of this. A part of this praying. What we'll do is we're praying for everyone. We're praying for God's people. We're praying for peace. We're praying for our leadership. We're praying for love. We're praying for unity. There's so much strife. Satan, he likes to divide and conquer. That's what he did. He did it in heaven with the angels. He tried to divide and conquer. You know, he did it with Adam and Eve. He separated them, didn't he? He did it. He loves to take a church and divide it and conquer it. He loves to take a people and divide it and conquer it. That's what Satan does. He don't fight fair. And so we need to pray for love and unity. We're all children of God, and God's got a wonderful plan for our life. And so, now that was all extra. I hadn't even got into my sermon yet. Is that okay? Brian, we've got, how long can our tape be? Okay, praise the Lord. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Last night, we spent a lot of time talking about the love of God. The love that God has for each one of us. It's amazing. The amazing love of God. The amazing love of God. And we found that each one of us were created for eternity. That there's a special place in God's heart that can only be filled by you. God loves you that much. That much. Tonight what I want to talk about is our love for God. Our love for God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, I'll go ahead and read this one too, is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wow. He basically just summarized the Ten Commandments here. The first four Ten Commandments are talking about loving who? God. And the last six are talking about loving who? Everybody else. Friends, one of the quickest way you can tell if God's living in your heart, if you are loving man. Okay? If you love each other. We've got to have love for each other. That's one of the ways that you can tell that God lives in your heart. And so, but tonight what I want to focus in on is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Wow. Now, can you make yourself fall in love? Can you make yourself fall in love? That's a tough one right there. You know, a long, long time ago, long, long time ago, a long, long, long time ago. You can tell I'm going to tell a story here that I need to make sure we got that right. There was a young lady that thought that she was head over heels madly in love with me. Now this was a very pretty girl, a very nice girl, and a very wealthy girl. Now she was loaded. She really was. This girl was loaded. Now I want you to know, I tried so hard to fall in love with her. But it just wouldn't happen. I tried really hard to fall in love with that girl. I mean, she was everything that you think that you could want. You know, but I could not make myself do it, no matter how hard I tried. One of the things that her family owned was a chain of banks. A chain of banks. I mean, I could just see myself going right up that corporate ladder being the CEO. I mean, I would have it made. But I could not make myself fall in love. There just was something missing. There wasn't no spark. There wasn't no electricity. You know, it was just like something was missing here. And so, you know, I would get so bored when I was with her that I couldn't wait till our date was over with so I could go out and have some real fun with my buddies. And so, yeah, it was just no use, and I finally just gave up. I just finally gave up. Now, when I met Cindy, there wasn't a spark either. It was an explosion. It was a nuclear reaction when I met this girl.
I'm not loving.
No. It wasn't a spark. It was a nuclear reaction went off. It was an explosion went off. I couldn't spend enough time with her. Couldn't be around her enough. Talked to her on the telephone. You name it. We just spent time and time. I'll tell you the story. When we first met, my sister is the one that introduced us. And I was at that time, I was a CPA. And I was real, real busy with doing that. And so we didn't really connect real fast. We started talking on the telephone a little bit. And then finally we had a date. And it's a blind date. And I had never met her. I opened up the door and I looked at this beautiful lady. And I mean, I fell in love at first sight. Just like that. Fell head over heels, madly in love. Asked her to marry me on the first date. The very first date. And she said, yes. and I got home and just on cloud nine, you know, and everything, and I got thinking, oh my goodness, it's tax season. March the 20th. And it was the very, very busiest time of my whole life, in between then and the 15th of April. And I said, we've got to wait after then to get married. So we waited all the way to May the 3rd. And we come to Savannah, Georgia, in Charleston, South Carolina, on our honeymoon. Yeah, we sure did. Yeah. And so, anyway, there was an explosion that took place when I met this little girl right here. And, you know, she still fires me up today. I love her more and more each day. Each day. We are a team for Jesus. We love serving God together. We love telling other people about Jesus. And when God picks them, nobody picks them like Jesus can. Amen? Nobody picks them like Jesus. And so, but tonight, the night's topic that I want to talk about tonight is being born again. Born again. It's a very, very important topic. We know so because Jesus says that we must be born again if we're going to inherit eternal life. So this is a very important subject to talk about. And just like falling in love, being born again is not something that you can manufacture up on your own. It's not something that you can muster up enough strength or energy or work to do it. It's not anything that you can do exerting-wise to do anything about this. Something has got to click, okay? You got to have a spark, you know, just like with that love deal. You got to have a spark. You got to fall in love with Jesus, amen? That's what it's all about. You got to fall in love with Jesus is what's got to happen before you can have that conversion, before you can have that born-again experience. And it's really just that simple. But you can't make yourself love Jesus. Just like I couldn't make myself love that girl, you can't make yourself love Jesus. And so the question I have tonight, what do we do? You know, what do we do? Try hard as you want. You can't do it. You simply can't make yourself have a fall in love, born again experience with Jesus Christ. And until that happens, you know, spending time with Him is going to be boring. It's going to be doing. When you read the Bible, it's just going to be like reading a history book, reading a bunch of words and stuff. You know, it's not going to excite you until that happens. It's just going to be empty words. You know, but even still, John 3:3, the Bible is very clear. Jesus says, marvel not, you must be born again. So how do I do that? How do I do that? That's the reason we're talking about this tonight. You think something that's so pivotal, something as important as our salvation is, that you would hear pastors preach on this all the time. I mean, you the ABC of it. You think that it's something that they should just lay out there all the time in front of everybody. That there'll be all kind of books on it. The ABC. How do you do it? How do you take this step? You know, but you don't. You just don't, to be honest. And so, but still, But still, Jesus says it's ground zero. It's the most important thing that's got to happen for your salvation. Is you got to be born again. You got to be born again. Now, surely God gives us some clear light on this subject here, since it's so important. I want you to listen to a quote from one of my favorite little books. Now, my favorite book in the whole world is the Bible. But I do like books that talk about the Bible, talk about Jesus. And one of my favorite books is a little book called Desire of Ages. It's an incredibly good book. It's a good book about the life of Jesus Christ. And just a wonderful book. And in that, the author, she says, in the interview with Nicodemus, Jesus unfolds the plan of salvation and His mission to the world. In none of His subsequent discourses did He explain so fully, step by step, the very work necessary to be done in the heart of all who would inherit the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, I want to check this out. So let's go to John chapter 3. That's where that's at. John chapter 3, and picking up we'll just pick up in verse 1. Now, I'm going to give you a little background as you're going there to John chapter 3. Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a highly educated man in Scripture. He was a teacher, a religious teacher. Okay, he knew the Bible. He knew the words in the Bible. He had the prophecies memorized. He had all this down. But Nicodemus knew that there was something missing deep down in his heart. He knew the Bible. He had it memorized back and forth, but he had it right here. He knew that there had to be more. There was just something he was missing out on. And so deep down inside, he knew when he heard about Jesus that Jesus had the answer. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, only Jesus can fill that empty spot that's deep, deep down in your heart. We got a void in our heart that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Amen. And Nicodemus was drawn to Him. Nicodemus was pulled to Him. And so he slipped in at nighttime because he didn't want anybody to know that he was asking advice from this carpenter's son. He didn't want anybody to know. So he slid in at nighttime. And I want to pick up at verse 1 here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that You do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so basically what's happening here? Nicodemus, he comes up and he says, Jesus, I realize that You understand spiritual things in the Scriptures. That's what he's saying. And then he says, and I want to discuss them with You. I want to have a discussion. But Jesus don't mess around. He don't make any bones about it. He tells him right where he stands. He says, Nick, he's basically said, you won't have a clue what I'm talking about here. You won't understand yet what I'm talking about here. You won't be able to understand because until you're born again to something clicks. So something clicks, those words are going to be right here and not right here. Something has got to click to take them from here to right here, Nicodemus. He says, until then, you're just not going to understand because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Until then, they're just going to be a bunch of lifeless words and prophecies. We can't have a real spiritual discussion yet. And then, you know, we got to be able to relate to this. I mean, we all know, folks. They can quote Scripture right and left. They can tell you about this and tell you about that. But they're still mean as a rattlesnake. You know what I'm talking about, friends? This head knowledge that we've got of the Bible has got to go from here to here. Something has got to happen in our heart so that we can take it from here to here, friends. This Bible should change you. This Bible should make you more like Jesus. We should be the most loving people on planet Earth because we got the Bible. Amen? We got a picture of Jesus right here in my hand. We should be loving. We should be caring. We should have compassion for the lost, for the hurting. And that's what God is trying to tell us here. Love is so important. This, you could summarize the Bible in one word, love. If you got Jesus in your heart, if you got the Scripture in your heart, you're going to have produced love. And that's basically what Jesus was telling Nicodemus right here. He says, something has got to happen here. And then Jesus starts unfolding this in verse 4. Hold on. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? He said, can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Jesus says it's a spirit moving into your heart. It's not anything human. It's something that's got to come from above. It's not anything that you can do on your own. And you know when it happens to you. You know, just like when the wind blows, you can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. I want you to know when the Spirit of God starts moving in your heart, there's going to be something taking place. You're going to know there's something happening. There's something happening just like the wind does. And that's been God's plan from the very beginning. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, you know, they separated themselves from God. But we know that Jesus wants to come and live in each one of our hearts through the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus wants to come and live in your heart. God wants to dwell in your heart. He wants to be one with you. He wants you to abide in Him, and Him in you. That's what God wants. Friends, and Nicodemus says, well, how can this be? Verse 9, he says, how can these things be? In other words, he says, he's asking here, how can I do this? How can I make this happen? How can I exert some type of energy? How can I do something? That's basically what he's asking right here. And so, he says, is there anything I can do? And then Jesus, he messes around with him a little bit. You know, you're a scholar and you don't know this answer. But then the answer is yes here. He really does say yes. He answers yes in John 3:14. Don't miss this right here. John 3:14. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay. All right. Now, Nicodemus had just asked him the question, how? And Jesus tells him it works just like it did when God told Moses to lift up that brass image of a serpent on a pole. Okay, y'all remember that story? It's in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21. Okay, now what was happening? I want to go back and just recap this story here so it will help you understand. Back when God's people were coming out of their bondage in Egypt, you know, they wandered around out there in the desert. Okay, God was teaching them. They could have went straight to the promised land. It wasn't that far. You look on a map, it wasn't that far. But what was God waiting on? He was waiting on them to trust Him so He could change their heart. He was waiting on them to completely trust Him. And trust Him. But they wonder, they were stiff-necked people, kind of like me. Just hard-headed and everything like that. Over and over, you know, God, He would do wonderful things for them. He'd bring water out of a rock, my goodness, for them. He'd bring food down, you know, manna down. They watched the Red Sea split. And still they would moan and complain and say, oh, we should have just stayed back there in Egypt in bondage. And everything like that. Could you hear that? Could you believe that? God was trying to teach them folks how to trust Him. How to have faith in Him. But over and over, they would just complain and complain. And finally, one day, God says, okay. They were saying that God hadn't been protecting them. The whole time, He'd been protecting them from those fiery serpents. And so He just let the guard down, and He let those fiery serpents come into the camp. And we know what was happening. What was happening? People were dying like flies. They were getting bit by these snakes, and they were dying like flies. And they come screaming to Moses, oh, help, tell God to help us. Help us, Lord. And so what God told them to do, He taught them a very important lesson. Depend totally upon Him for their salvation. Not anything you can do. You got to rely on God. So He had them put a Moses build a brass image of that serpent and put it up in the middle of that camp. And those people had a choice. They had a choice. They could look to that brass image and live, or they could not look and die. It was really that simple. It was really that simple. You know, they could look and live or not look and die. You know that there were a lot of people that didn't even look? You know, not everybody looked. Why in the world? You know why? They were trying to save their self. You think about that. I want to illustrate that. I want to illustrate this. How do y'all feel about snakes? My wife can't she cannot stand snakes, so I'm going to get over here for this illustration. Let's just say that snakes started falling everywhere in this room right now. Everywhere but right here. Everywhere but right here. Now, tell me what you'd be doing. Would you be looking up here? You know, Jesus says all we got to do is look at Him. It's by His stripes we're healed. Isaiah 53, we read that last night. By His stripes we're healed. But what are we so busy doing? We so busy concentrating on the snakes in life, you know, our bills and our the bad relationships, and this person made me mad, and we're so busy looking down here that we don't have time to look to Jesus. Jesus says, if you want healing in your life, look to me. And it goes against our common sense because we're so busy trying to fix our own problems. We're so busy trying to, you know, to not get bit or worrying about the bite that we've got that we don't have time to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? That's a powerful message. The Bible says it's by His stripes that we're healed. Not by meditating and dwelling on my stripes. Not by dwelling on all my problems. I want you to know the more you dwell on your problems, the bigger they're going to get. The more you dwell on Jesus, the smaller they're going to get and the bigger He gets. Amen? And that's exactly the lesson here. It says, if all they had to do, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, there's only one thing that you can do. And He's telling us today, there's only one thing you can do to work out your salvation. There's only one deliberate effort that you can do to work on out your salvation, and that's to look. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look into Jesus. You can't muster it up yourself. You got to look to Jesus Christ. You got to look to Him to do it. When you open up the Word of God, anytime you open up the Word of God, you need to be searching for the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Any truth that is not wrapped around Jesus, if Jesus is not the central theme of every doctrine we got, every single prophecy we got, then we're taking it out of context. Because Jesus is the very root of the Bible. The cross is the very central theme of the Bible. That God loves us so much that He was willing to die for us on the cross of Calvary. So anything that we take out of that context is we're taking it out of context. When you've got to open up the Bible and look for Jesus Christ. Look for Jesus Christ, the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. See, the Bible didn't say in Numbers 21 that they didn't even say that they had to have a certain amount of belief. That's right. Now, when they were snake bit, the Bible didn't say that they had to have it. Now, this is going to be a hard one for you to hold on to, so grab a hold of this. It didn't say that they had to have a certain amount of belief before they'd be healed. It just says, look. Okay? It just says, look. Now, it didn't say that they had been playing around with the snakes. If they'd been playing and they deserved it, and they was goofing off and playing around with the snakes and they got bit, it didn't say anything about that not healing. All it said was, look. They had to look. They had to look. Now follow me. Hold on to my thought here. Because I know this is a hard one to stomach right here. But hold on and you'll understand where I'm going with it. It didn't say if they had been healed once. Let's say that they had been snake bit and healed. And it said if you already been healed once, it won't work again. It said again, all you had to do was look. All you had to do was look. Are you seeing how this applies to our life? You know, are you seeing how there are no conditions found in the healing that Jesus offered in Numbers 21. Go read it for yourself. Go check it out. And that's what He told Moses. He said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, there was no conditions. Everything starts with a look. Everything starts with a look. Come as you are. come as you are? Can an Ethiopian change his skin color or a leopard his spot? No, you've got to come to Jesus just as you are, with all your problems, with all your shortcomings, with all your doubts, and everything else. Alright, let me, and I want to praise God, because I was a mess. I didn't believe. I wanted to believe, but I couldn't make myself believe. I couldn't muster up enough to believe. But I want you to know, when I dared, see, Satan cannot stop us from looking. Satan cannot stop us. He can deceive me. He can tempt me. He can cause me to have doubts in my mind. But he cannot stop me from choosing to look to Jesus. If I start looking for Jesus, if I seek Jesus, I will find Jesus. And as I seek Him, He can work in me to do His good pleasure. And then He can build my belief. Because it is our belief that saves us. Amen? Because we're saved by our faith. But I can't manufacture faith on my own. I can't make myself believe. But as I look to Jesus, He can do that in me. He can. It's a gift. I'm going to talk about that. I'm getting into a sermon later on. But He can give me that faith. He can give me that gift. Looking in the direction of the uplifted serpent is the only condition that you read about in Numbers 21. There is life in a look. So look and live, brothers and sisters. You got something going on in your life? Look to Jesus. Are you hurting right now? Are you going through a problem? Have you got a mountain in your life? Is there some kind of turmoil in your life right now? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Have you got a health problem? You got a family problem? You got a financial problem? Have you got a doubt problem? Are you doubting God that He can work in your life? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. It's by His stripes we're healed. By His stripes, the Bible says, we're healed. Not by meditating on my stripes, but by meditating and dwelling on the life of Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. That's where the power for life is at. That's where the power for life is at. Just like Jesus says, Nicodemus, he really didn't understand all this. He kind of slipped on out that night. But he did witness Jesus Christ being lifted up. He did witness Him being crucified on the cross of Calvary. And historians tell us that he gave his whole life to God after that and started serving the early church with his. He was very wealthy and he helped out the early church. Friends, we've all been snake bit. Every one of us been snake bit by that old serpent, the devil. He's bit us all. We've all sinned and fallen short. And there's only one cure, and that's Jesus Christ. Looking to Jesus Christ. The only cure we got. Look to Jesus and live. John 1:29, that's what John the Baptist, when he walked out, he recognized that. He recognized Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. Give me an amen, somebody. Yeah, behold. Yeah, yes. Behold the Lamb of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, it's by hope beholding that we are changed. It's by beholding Him. Beholding Jesus. You know, you might ask the question, well, how can I behold Him? How can I behold Him? You know, how can I look? Friends, if you look for Jesus, if you look for Jesus when you open up the Bible, if you just start looking for Him, say, "Lord, I'm searching for You." When you open up the Word of God, if you look for Him, Jesus will do the rest. I promise He will. If you look for Him by seeking Jesus in the Word of God, by spending time reflecting on the life of Christ. I tell you what, you know, one of the best things you can do is spend time reading the last days of Jesus between Gethsemane and the cross. Spend some time doing that. Spend some time just beholding Him. Behold Him in Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Do that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Behold Him in Gethsemane, agonizing over the sacrifice that He was going to make for you. You know, that wasn't no easy task. He knew, the flesh knew. He said, "Father, if this cup can pass from me." But what did He say every time? "Not my will, but Your will be done." Yeah, Jesus loved us enough to go all the way through it. He knew what He was about to face. He knew what He was about to face. He did. Behold Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Behold Him as He goes through about making that sacrifice for you. As He told His disciples, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Watch." He said, "Watch and pray." He said, "Watch. Be in a state of watchfulness." In these hours we live in, brothers and sisters, we need to be in a state of watching prayer. We need to be guarding our thoughts. We need to be guarding what's going into our heart. We need to be watching what we're looking at on TV. Our minds is like a sponge. You know our minds is like a sponge? I'm going to give you an example right now. Let's take I took a lemon. Honey, you got a lemon?
No.
Yes, you do. It's right here. And so I take a lemon and I cut it in half. Now I got this lemon in my hand right here and I want you to watch this. Could you kind of taste the lemon when I did that a little bit? Our mind is like a sponge. Our mind is like a sponge. We've got to watch. We have got to watch what we are watching on TV. We got to watch what we're listening to. Because Satan is so deceiving, he can get into your heart in so many ways, brothers and sisters. We've got to watch. And so spending time with Jesus, beholding Him, filling your life with Jesus, being radical about spending time with Jesus and abiding with Jesus. But behold Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Behold Him as He goes through Pilate's judgment hall. Is there spitting on Him? Behold Him doing that for you. Behold Him as they were taking His beard and plucking His beard out. Behold Him as they would put a bag over His head and they would hit Him and say, "Who prophesied? Who did that?" Behold Him. Meditate on that. Dwell on that. All the pain. It says, "By His stripes we're healed." Behold Him as He took those stripes across His back. We talked about that last night. 39 lashes across His back twice. And just ripped His back. Must have been like hamburger meat. Behold Him doing that. And behold Him as He lays there. Now you could imagine all the two thieves as He laid down there on the cross. Could you imagine these men? They knew it was it. They were fighting with all they had. But behold Jesus. He didn't no resistance. Like a lamb going to the slaughter. No resistance whatsoever. He just laid His hands up there. And behold Him taking those spiked nails in His hands for you. And then. Behold Him as they lift that cross up. And they lift Him high. And He falls in that hole and as He jars. Behold Him. The pain that racked His body. Behold Him and realize that God loves you, that He cares about you. He went through that on purpose for you. He knew what He was going to be going through. He went through that for you. And brothers and sisters, as you behold Him doing that, as you something starts happening in your heart, a spark, and the Holy Spirit floods you with love for Jesus Christ who did that for you on the cross of Calvary. My God did that for me. He loves me that much. Something happens in your heart, brothers and sisters, and there's a change that takes place in your life. There's something about love. How is God going to save this world? It's through love. It's through love He's going to save this world. As we realize how much God loves us and how much He cares about us. And there's something that as it happens as the Spirit of God starts moving on your heart, opening up this Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does not speak of Itself, but speaks of Jesus and the love of Jesus. And you start realizing how much Jesus loves you, how much God loves you, and all things will start happening. New things will start happening in your life. Old things will pass away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things will pass away, and all things will be new. You'll be like a new creature, a new creation. It's the love of God flushing you, working in your heart, brothers. It's not anything you can manufacture on your own. You just did it as you watched Jesus. He told us in John 12:32. He says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Draw you away from the grip of the world. Draw you away from those things that separate you from Him. He'll do everything as we look to Him, high and lifted up. As we look to Jesus, things will start happening in your life. There really is life in a look. There really is life in a look. As long as you're looking to Jesus. Amen. As long as you're looking to Jesus. See, it's the love of God that's revealed at Calvary that wakens love in our heart. It's the love of God revealed at Calvary. It's the love of God that does it all. The more time you spend looking to Jesus, the more time that you spend looking to Jesus, the more you'll realize how much He loves you. And the more you realize how much He loves you, the more that you'll love Him. The more that you'll love Him. You know, it really is all about Jesus. It really is all about Jesus. That's right. He's the author and He's the finisher. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, brothers and sisters. It is by looking to Jesus. By looking to Jesus. You know, you can't change your heart. I want to share a scripture here and mark this one down. Hebrews 12 in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now that's the beginning from the end. That's everything, brothers and sisters. Everything. That's from the doubt being pushed away to belief. That's faith. That's rock solid faith. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the reason I say that we can storm the throne room of heaven with our prayers. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus who died for me. He wants us to come to Him. He didn't die on that cross to leave us the way we were. He died on that cross to save us. To save us from our sin. To give us a new life. He wants to help us live our life and live it in abundance here on this earth. We can run to the throne room of heaven. We can open up that screen door just like our kids can run into our house and ask us anything. Well, we can run to God. We can run to Him. And so, Lord, help me. And He's always there. Forever lives to intercede for us. And that's, see, Paul figured out this. You know, Paul had a Damascus Road experience too. I told you I had one last night. Paul had one before I did. And Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Listen to this. This is Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Did you hear that? So where's the power of the gospel at? I mean, where is the power? It's in the gospel. It's in the gospel. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. Praise God for that. And then 1 Corinthians, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I got one amen there. Amen. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I'm," and so this is reason that we got to talk about Jesus. "For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, friends, you can't change your heart. You can't make yourself love Jesus. You can't change the way you are. You might have some things going on in your life. Maybe you've got some things going on in your life that God's been convicting you of, and that you just seem to be powerless to overcome. You know, it could be doubt, it could be a habit, I could go on and on. You can't change you can't make yourself stop doing it. You can't make yourself be a better person. But you can choose to look to Jesus. Nobody can take that away from you. And if you choose to look to Jesus, it gives Him permission to work in you according to His good pleasure. That's how it works. That's how it works. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. And if you choose Him, see, when you choose to look to Him, what you're doing is you're telling Satan that, "No, I choose Jesus as being my Lord." And when you do that, nobody can touch you. Satan can't touch you when you choose Jesus. When you let Him know, when you let Jesus know, "I want You in my life." When you get up in the morning, you say, "Lord, I want to give my life to You. Please forgive me of my sins. Lead me away from temptation." It gives God permission to work in your life, brothers and sisters. It gives Him permission to protect you and to watch over you. Everything. See, Satan has got landmines. He's got them planted everywhere through your day. But when you give your life to God, when you seek Him early in the morning and you seek Him as the first work, God knows every landmine that He has planted, and He can lead and guide you all day long. We need Jesus in our life. We need Jesus in our life. More than ever, we need Jesus in our life. Satan can't have you when you choose Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's turn our eyes on Jesus. Let's sing that little song. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise God. I want to ask the favor of you. Give God permission to use you tomorrow. You know, the whole world needs to hear this message. Would you invite somebody tomorrow? Invite somebody tomorrow to come and hear this. Give God a... You know, Luke chapter 10 verse 2 says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers. God just wants permission to send you out. Would you share with somebody about this All About Jesus revival and give God... Now, see, they might say no, but do your part. See, God sent us out to be fishermen, right? And you know what the bait is? You know what the bait we're going to use to catch fish? Jesus. Jesus. He's the bait. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You for revealing Your love to us once again. Thank You for Your presence through the Holy Spirit. Thank You for loving us so much. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I just pray for each one of my brothers and sisters that You would empower them with the Holy Spirit, that they would go out and be a witness of Your love and Your faithfulness to others. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you all for coming. God bless you.